Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness through God's servant, Pastor Emeka Egwuchukwu.
Amen. You will be blessed. Father, we thank you. I just yield myself, my spirit, soul, and body. I ask that you speak to us again. Let understanding be given to everyone in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 John. We'll still be looking at the issue of love. Now, I know last time apart from talking about harvest, that I took time to talk about harvest, we looked at love specifically. We've dwelt a bit on charity. It was intentional. We've dwelt a bit on charity. I'm still trusting God to be able to continue with charity, but as the Lord permits. But the Lord is also painting pictures for us so that we can go up the more. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 John, like I said, if you listen to any of the teachings, there's a way that John brought out, there's a light that John was using. We understand that. There's a light that John was using. John was using, if you please quickly give me 1 John chapter 1. It said, this is chapter 1, verse 5. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that what? Can I hear you echo it? Say it again. I'm not hearing you say it. Say it again. So in other words, we can say that the light that John was using was what you can call God's light. Now, God's light is actually explaining, as we are, if we can call it, explaining the economy of the Father, or the economy of everlasting life. When we say economy of the everlasting life, we're talking about the living and the true God. That is basically what he was explaining. Now, if you read Revelation, I told somebody one time when I was talking, I said, the book of Revelation was just a vision. And in that vision, there was a whole lot of, interplay, what God was showing him. Now, what God showed him in Revelation, the epistle of it, because Revelation is a super epistle, but the epistle or the understanding of what God was showing him in the book of Revelation, you will see it in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. You can't effectively understand the book of Revelation without having an accurate understanding of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, because what he was using was God is light. Can we say it together? Now, for Paul, amen, you understand it, Paul used Christ as light. How many of us know that Christ is also light? Amen. Awake, all thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and what? Christ shall give thee light. So, Christ is also a light. Now, why light? Light is for life. Light is for life. He is the light that lighted the path of every man that enters into this world. He said in him was life, and the life that was in him is what? I'm not hearing you. The life that was in him, what? The life that is in him, or the light that was in him, is what you call the light of men. In other words, the light that man is supposed to use is the light of Christ. That's the first light. Can you say the first light? So when you arise from the dead, the first light, that's talking about your soul, the first light that will wake you up, the first light that you receive and you are demanded to walk in is Christ light. Christ light. Then when you have transacted with the light of Christ, there is what it will do to you as a man. Amen. That's what it will do to you. The end of light is life. So at the end of the day, what is supposed to transmit to you now? Light carries crucibles, carries substances, carries molecule, carries something. Light is transferred. I used to put it this way. This is life called Christ. To give it to you from where you are, because you are there, and to give you the things that constitute light, then light has to shine. Life has to shine as light. So life is transmitted. Life is given through the medium called light. Meaning without light, there will be no life. So God is a giver of light. That is why I said every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of what? I'm not hearing you. Let me hear you, please. Amen. From the Father of what? I'm not hearing you. Look at it. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. It's not light. Lights. So it's not one light. It's lights. So he is the Father of the lights called Christ. And if he's the Father of the light called Christ, then he's the Father of the life called Christ. Amen. 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 It comes from above. It comes from him. So he's also the Father of the of living light and everlasting light, living light and abiding light. Now, these are the lights that God has or God is. So the light, the first light that he gives to a man or he expects any man, because he said, he that walks with me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So it's called the light of life. Meaning without that light, there is no life. So if you walk with me, if you walk with God, the first thing that he will do to you is to give you light. Giving you light is giving you, to make you have life. So I said the end of light, or the essence of light, is for life. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Then he is also, how do you know that there is eternal light? That they call it the unapproachable light. Unapproachable light. You can't come to that light. Before you can come to that light, you must have transacted with other lights that he fathers. Now, to say he fathers them means that they are of him. I don't know if you're following me. Means that they are, all these lights are of him. Now, what we are reading in 1 John chapter 1, let's see it again. This then is the message. There are two things that I saw here that I liked. One of it is here, message. Can you say message? Say it again with me, message. This then is the message which we have heard of him. We've heard of him. I like that. You know, I know other translation will say we've heard from him. But King James gives you, for me, that's accurate. We've heard of him, telling you that the what we heard from him is not about anything. To say you hear from him is to say he is the message. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Another thing that also we saw, that should be in chapter 3, verse 11. Give me chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message. Are you seeing the message? For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So, message. I want to put the two together. Can you say message? Beginning with 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, you notice that it's called head of him, not head from him. That carries a lot of weight, that carries a lot of import too. To hear from him actually is talking about to be taught of him. I like that place. He said, your children shall be taught of the Lord. Now, to be taught of the Lord means that they will teach. To be taught of him is to be taught of his internal constitution, how he is configured. Amen. You know, we are in that season where they are teaching us about God, who God is, how God is, and what makes him God. Amen. So we can put it this way, that God is the message and love is the message. What did I say? Say it again with me. Say it again. I'm trying to put this thing together by God's grace. The Lord will help us. We have heard of him describing his law. So we can put it that God is a, you've heard it several times, God is a constitution of laws. There are laws that makes up God. There are laws that makes up God. God does not go outside his, what he is internally. If he does that, Paul said, if I destroy that which I have built, then I am a transgressor. Now, in 1 John, he talks also about a transgressor. A transgressor, one who transgresses the commandment. Where John was talking about transgression, transgressing the law. So God does not transgress. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. Are you seeing it? One who is committing sin is transgressing the law. Now, when you read John, please, when you read John like this, don't think you understand it. The prima facie understanding is that anybody who sins has contravened the law. Yes. But here he's talking about something. This is a very high understanding. He's showing you how God is and why God can't go against himself. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. This is not transgression of only let me put it this way so that you don't misunderstand me. It's not only transgression of laws that are given to you. Law can be given to you and you may transgress it. You are in a way a transgressor. But the real transgressor is one who the law has been written in his heart. So when they say the devil is a sinner from the beginning. He's sinning from his law. Did you get what I just said now? He's sinning against, is like going contrary to his constitution. The way, because he is, God puts laws together. God, it's not only science that understands laws. In fact, the laws that science understand are just natural laws. They are spiritual laws. They are spiritual laws. We are coming from somewhere yesterday, and I just told those with me in the car. I said, if only men understand that laws cannot be broken, some people will stop doing some things. Laws cannot be broken. A very notable man of God said, if you break the law will break you. So we are talking about money. You know, the way people are, especially this generation, the way everybody is vicious, angry, wants to, you know, money. You know, money is like they are ready to do anything to make money. They are ready to do anything to, they are ready to break any law to make money. I told them, I said, that's what the Bible calls ill-gotten wealth. It will take the life of the possessor. It will take your life. It will take your life spiritually. It will also take your life. That's if you have life spiritually in the first place. If you have, but even if you don't have life spiritually, your physical life will be cut short. Oh no, you don't know. You don't know. Some people die early because they have violated certain laws. You don't break laws. This earth you're seeing is not without laws. You're just seeing things, you know, you think things are just okay. There's one who is called the lawless one. That's Satan. He's already dead. And he wants a lot of people with him. And then what he wants is teach you how to break laws. You know, there are natural laws. You know, there are natural laws. Some of the natural laws are laws, obey your parents, children, obey your parents and the Lord. Both natural and also spiritual. It doesn't matter who you are. Whether you are a believer, revelational in nature, and then you break that law, you will go. So there are laws that are like that, that you can't break. Whether you're spiritual or whether you are, you know, you're a believer or an unbeliever, you can't break laws. There is nothing here on earth that is not guided by law. So what do I call law? Amen. Law. Operating principle. Check it. It's the operating principle. Operating principle of life. Because there is no life without law. Every life has its own law. Both natural life and spiritual life has its own law. You can't break it. You break it, you will pay for it. Amen. So God is a constitution of law. Now when he was also making angels, he has his own laws. God has his own laws that he keeps. His own laws are higher. You can't keep his laws. You can't keep. If you're able to keep his law, you will be like him. Yeah. Hi. You know there are laws that will make you live. I'm talking about here as a man. As a man with flesh. Listen to me. I'm not lying to you. As a man with flesh, subject to economy of Nigeria, subject to everything, breathing the same air, eating the same air, drinking the same water, living in Lagos that is very, very tedious to live in, there are laws you will keep. Spiritual laws. If you find the laws of God and keep them, you will live.
Wow. Amen.
You will know, you now understand that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So what is that word? What is word? It's law. What is it? Where the word of the king is, there is what? Authority, there's power. Word. And lately, Daddy has been teaching us about word, breaking that issue of word. So you're seeing word not just as something that is to be said. It's a life. It's a spirit. It's a constitution. It's a law. It's a law that if you understand, you won't go against it. Once it is embedded in you, you are not supposed to transgress it. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. So I believe, sir, before God will give us his own law, which makes up his own word, he would have given us some others and seen how faithful we are with it, that we've not broken them. Because to break his own, somebody broke something lesser in quality than his own, and the thing turned him to a devil. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. So when we say Lucifer, when we're saying son of the morning, when we are talking about the devil who fell, the son of the morning who fell and became the devil, what did he do? He transgressed. He sinned from the beginning. Now that beginning is talking about is his law. When he was sinning, I don't think the guy just did. You know the way a man will commit sin? You know the way you commit sin? Let me also say this to you. You know, it takes a time. What you are, what men are presently, they are slaves to sin. You start being a slave to sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? But just like you can be a slave of righteousness before you become king of righteousness. Did you get me? Before you become king of righteousness, you must have served righteousness. Before you become king of righteousness. So what man, actually fallen man, is just a slave of sin. He's not yet a king of sin. We are yet to see. I'm sure some people are racing towards being king. Now, I don't doubt, sir, that presently there are people who are king of sin. You know, Satan does not waste time in racing men to sin. Now, such a man, what you're seeing is that laws have been written. Covenants have been made. Laws have been written to the point where the person is a custodian of that life called sin. Now, that's how far Satan can go in teaching a man. But I'm saying that the law that was in him initially was not law of sin and death. It wasn't law of sin and death. It was a law of life that was in a cherub. It was a law of life. The law of righteousness, the law of life that was in a cherub, that was what was inside him. But when he sinned, he didn't sin like a man would sin. You know the way Adam sinned? Amen. That's not the way Satan sinned. The sin of Adam is called after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So it's a similitude, meaning it's a kind. But there is a similitude of an angelic transgression, because angels transgressed with him. That is the first transgressor. So there's a similitude of a cherubic transgression. So the way man sin, man will sin by acts. Just acts. So man died in his spirit. For you to sin from the beginning, you have to break all the covenants of life. All the covenants of life that you have made, you have to break all. It takes time. You have to break all the covenants of life. So, when they say, until iniquity was found in him, it's not one day. It didn't take place. And you know, he wasn't in a day of 24 hours. Where they are there. So if we are to bring what transpired, amen. If you have to bring what transpired, the space of time, you know, the way the Bible recorded, you know, that we are perfect in all that we are perfect in all thy ways, in the day that thou wast created, till, so that till is a time. When I say till, that's, they are trying to import a space of time, if I put it that way. You can't call it time because you can't measure it. It's not measuring a portion of eternity and bring it to time. I'm sure that thing took time. If you are to place it in our own time, it must have taken thousands of years, ages. Elohim was watching. Elohim was patient. Elohim was kind. Elohim, sir, this is what I actually believe. This is what personally I believe. You know the number of years it took Jesus to endure Judas?
Wow.
That was an age. So what God sent his son to do here on earth was to do what he had been doing with Satan. Yes. You know, I told us last time when I was teaching, and when I said it, some of us were looking at me like that. I said, when Jesus died on the cross, what he was, he said, what I see my father do is what I'm doing. So what he was doing on the cross was what the father was doing. There's a way the father was doing it in eternity. First John said, this is the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life. Who laid down his life there? I'm not here. Please give it to me. Let's see it. Hereby perceive we what? Let's say it together. Are we saying it? And then, because who is he? I'm not hearing. Who is he? No, you're not saying who is he? Your religious mind is still affecting you. You can't see past time. Because even when you're talking about time, no, okay, but why are you saying it's God? It's Christ that came to die for us. No, haven't you heard the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the earth? Don't let time fool you. Because he, the subject that was being talked about here was God. Hereby perceive we the love of God. So this is what you call the love of God, or the life of God will do. Because he laid down his life for us. So he's showing us how to also love like God does. Amen. So his son came and did the same thing. He laid down his life for the very people who hated him. Because it would only take God to lay down his life for the people that hate him. Am I saying something here? Amen. Hallelujah. So we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life. So I was saying that the number of the years that it took Jesus to endure Judas was what he learned from his father. Now that thing was eternity imported to time and compressed into 3.5 years. And it wasn't only what made it compressed to 3.5 years, sir, was that he finished it. He didn't stop at any time. If he had stopped, it would have been elongated. But thank God he can't stop. He's not a transgressor. In him was no sin. You know, there are sins you don't see. If he had thought evil of Judas, Peter won't see it. John won't see it. But somebody will see it. I know you say God will see it. No, it's only God. Satan. Because he knows his seed. Anywhere he sees his seed, he knows it. So once he sees anger in his heart against Judas, or bitterness in his heart, or anything in his heart against Judas, that's transgression already. It's against a law. It's against the law of love. So how Jesus did that commandment, and a commandment of eternity, did it? He kept it in a space of time, compressed it into 3.5 years. He kept it and finished it. He finished it. He finished it. They gave him a quantity of time to finish it, and he finished it. He never talked about Judas to anyone at all. The only thing was that he had to say, one of you will betray me. He didn't open up to it. Is it? They didn't even know. Because they were asking, is him? Am I the one? Is it me? Am I the one? I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. But let me say this. I was teaching in the epistle life. I was saying that it took time for Satan to actually enter Judas. Satan won't enter you in one day. Just the way God cannot enter you one day. Satan won't enter you one day. It took time. Satan was putting something. He will go. Trafficking. That's exactly what happened to Satan. Multitude of traffic. It would drop. Something was dropping something into the heart of Satan. Now, let me say this to you. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying. You know, this one, we say it's Satan that was sowing something into the heart of Judas. Who was sowing something in the heart of Satan? Who was sowing it? It's not God. Because God is good. But I want you to see the privilege of a cherub. The privilege of being a cherub. The privilege of being a cherub is high. He's high, and then he can fetch thoughts. Because of what he has as instruments, he can fetch thoughts. He can think. Look at what man is struggling with, sir. This world is a brainchild of somebody. Just a brainchild. He's the one that thought of this system called Babylon. Have you ever considered Babylon? Babylon is well crafted. And everybody inside it is busy. And everybody inside it is living a life of it. It's somebody's brainchild. So you can see the capacity of a cherub. Right now on earth, part of what man is going to be struggling with is quantum computing and AI. If you understand what I'm talking about, those of you who are into the media space, that's the AI's, what do you call it? Tech space, you'll understand what I'm saying. Quantum computing. Quantum computing will solve a problem that would take a normal, you know, what's the highest computer? We don't use Pentium. It's Core I. We passed Core I. We are using something else right now, but it's not yet quantum computing. Now, what it will take the smartest computer hundreds of thousands of years to solve. A quantum computer will solve it in a matter of minutes. Process data coming to conclusion in just a matter of minutes. Now add AI to it. Amen. Sir, that is still within the... Is man, is still man, because it's the works of man's hand. So man could think that much. Somebody thought, you know, there was a time they were using typewriter. And they were using, you know, those space column. Then you draw it like this. And then you type again, it will be going until it gets to the end. It will ring for you. Then you, they are still using it in Nigerian court. Yeah, they are still using it. They are still using it. That when you go to swear affidavit, that's what they will use for you. Amen. Amen. Now, this is what I'm telling you. There was a time that we are using that, but somebody saw ahead. Somebody thought of IBM. IBM, first of all, came. Electric computer. Then it went further, became, you know, I mean, electric typewriter. Then went into computer where you... Now, When this thing was coming out, you know, initially when you go to the, although in Nigeria is still like that, you see fire, loads of fire. You know, you have fire room. Now somebody thought, we shouldn't be working like this. Everybody should be on his system, connected to a net, where we will be able to store messages, we'll be able to, you know, store files, we're able to communicate with each other. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. I'm trying to speak to you. I'm trying to open you up to something where we could communicate. So everybody, you can work from home. And I'll be seeing what you're doing. I can even be seeing your face while you're working. I'll know when you are on your desk and when you're not on your desk. I know your deliverables. I know whether you're meeting up your targets. I don't know. I'm saying something here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I know when you're meeting up your target. I know when you're not meeting. I'm your supervisor.
Yes.
Somebody taught all of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. It's still within what man can think of. But this one I'm talking about, I just talked about. I mean, I know my tech guys are all looking at me. Quantum computing with AI. Now, is another, somebody called it fourth industrial revolution. Really, it's going to change everything drastically. Drastically. Things are not going to be the way, I mean, the normal life that man is living. Because we interact, you know, physically. Everything is going to change. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Somebody thought of it. Somebody thought of it. That's still within man's capacity to think. And conceive. And build it. And it become a useful tool in the hands of man. Now I want you to imagine. And the man you are talking about is a fallen man. It's not even Adam. Now imagine the lowest of an angel. How his mind is. Imagine what he can process. Imagine what his thoughts can fetch. I'm talking about the list of an angel. Now, just go up. Imagine who a cherub is like. He's a machine. So if he, when you say sin is something he conceived. Sin is something he conceived. I know it's still difficult for us to understand this. It's something he fetched. It took a period of time. I'm showing you what happened in eternity. I'm showing you, because when you read it in your Bible, you just think maybe it happened all of a sudden. Iniquity was found in him. It took time. If we are to bring it into time, it would have taken thousands of years. He kept transacting and kept transacting and kept transacting until he one by one detonated, transgressed, erased the laws, because that's what sin does. When sin comes in, the first thing is that he will begin to damage laws. That's why I said, when sin, one of the things that sin did when man died is that sin began to, he came against the laws of the soul. Because there are laws that keeps the soul. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What keeps the soul together? What makes soul soul? There's something that keeps the soul together. What will make Adam to pray? David will pray, unite my heart. Oh God, the heart was scattered. The heart, which is part of the soul, has gone into far countries. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Has gone into far countries. Who distributed him into many streams? Who scattered his strength? Sin. What? To be holy is to be whole. To be holy is one. Man used to be one. Amen. Man used to be one. That's the soul. The soul, when you hear, hear, O Israel, for the Lord thy God God is one God. Some people have argued, so there's no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You don't understand. They're talking about something. They're talking about the soul. The soul is a nature. It's a nature. Now, that oneness, you as a man, as you journey into him, you will also become one with him. So that oneness is actually the wholesomeness of God that the soul should also come into. Are you following me this morning? It's the wholesomeness of God that the soul should also come into. So man used to be one, but somebody distributed him. Somebody distributed him. One of the ways he distributed him is that he, when I mean distribute, scattered him. Drove him into far countries. No, he said far countries. Say it with me, far countries.
Far countries.
What is a country? It's a place of identity. It's a place. Reverend, how that you can say, it's where they count you and number you. It's a place of relevance. Man, in your country, you're relevant. You're a citizen. So man thought he wasn't relevant. And then he was scattered. You know, what Satan can use to scatter his soul, they are just things that we know. There's a country called ambition. It's a country. You know, some people are there. You don't understand what I'm saying?
Oh.
You don't understand what I'm saying? There's a country called ambition. There's a country called goal getting. I'm a goal getter. Just like you said, I'm a Nigerian. No, please. I'm not in any way supporting mediocrity. Not at all. But that is not my law. I'm not a goal getter. I am not a goal getter. Whatever, that is not my law. That should not be my law. That should not be what I should spend time trying to acquire as an identity. There's a country called fame. It's a country. Are you seeing what we call countries? There's a country called fame. There's a country called class. And you know, this Satan divided it very well. So even when you enter plane, they are class. They will classify you. So you know, some people cannot afford, they will not allow themselves to fly economy class. They will do everything to be in the first class. Now, I'm not saying if you fly first class, it's bad. I've flown first class before. But that is not, if I don't tell you, will you know? If I don't tell you what class I fly, will you know? Now, I used to tell them, I said, we all will get there at the same time. The only reason why one wants to fly that is because of comfort. It's just because of comfort. It's not for class. Mm. But you know, that thing can be the major drive in the soul of someone that he must. Because when you're there, you see who is who. You know, there's a way that I've flown it, so you see some people that you know that these ones are not. And then when you come to the economy, you see even mothers with children. I've sat with a mother with, you know, a family with children. All day we are crying. All day made noise. All kinds of things happened. And I was just enjoying it. I don't know. There's a way I am. I was just enjoying it because I knew I have to enjoy these situations. And we are flying for 6 hours. And I have to enjoy this situation. So I was laughing. I would laugh with the kids. I tried to make them not cry, you know. And eventually the hostess now saw that I was not able to rest. And now said, please, can I change your seat? I said, why not? Amen. So he moved me higher. He moved me to economy, what they call, there's economy comfort, you know, or premium economy. They moved me there and I sat. I was able to sleep a little bit because I was just coming from ministration. Amen. Praise God. It's good. But that's not my class. That's not, I'm not after class. But you see, that class can define a soul. Some people don't want to come down from a class. Are you seeing those countries where souls are? Class, there is low class too. It's also a country.
Yes, sir.
It's a country. See that low class? You should not have class at all. No, I just imagine that day when I was sitting in the economy and then children were, because here was my seat and I was sitting in the four row in the middle where you have, you know, four seats. The other one, you have two at the other extreme. Then I was just sitting at the aisle side of the, of that one. And then three, father, mother, children. One was being buckled by the mother and the other one was sitting beside me and that one was crying. That was the one that was throwing tantrum. Amen. Now, one of the things I just imagine, I say, what would Christ do in this kind of situation? What would Jesus do? I will make friends with the child. And that was what I was trying to do. The father will apologize to me. Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. I'm sorry. I say, don't worry. I have children too. I understand this. There's no problem. Now, this is what I'm saying. One will say, okay, you know, you see all these high-class people, all these high-class people. Now, some of the people we are saying high-class, they don't see class. So that eye is that makes you see class. That's an evil eye. It's a country in itself. Somebody can be low, and class is his problem. I know what I'm talking about, because I've lived with one. Mommy can remember. When I was living in Face Me, I face you. You know, somebody called it Face Me, I slap you. We had a neighbor. Oh my God. We are all there. You know, everybody was humble. Me, anywhere God puts me, I dwell there. I'd rejoice. I passed the time of my sojourning there. Amen. Praise God. And then our problem was, anything that will bring her, you know, in, you know, maybe altercation with any, you know, neighbor on the same floor. We're all on the same floor. Two bedroom, everybody. That's two room, not two rooms. We are all sharing toilet and bedroom. But anything that will bring any little, you know, she said, I should not be talking to you because I know my class. I know my class. Amen. I used to laugh because I said we are all on the same floor, first floor. We are all there. There is no class here. No, of course, I won't tell her that because that would not be Christ. But I'll just laugh. I say, what's a class? Why is class a problem here? Where we are in this Face Me, I face you. What is class? We cook in the same kitchen. We use the same toilet, the same bedroom. So what is class here? But that thing was inside the soul. We are all of us there. We are all there. She was using that, my class, to oppress everyone.
Oh God.
So there's another neighbor. That one is not educated, you know, but she was a little bit educated. So anytime she rises up, I know my class. That one will keep quiet. That's a soul. That's a country. Are you understanding what I mean by country? So our soul was scattered. Follow what I'm saying today. Amen. Man's soul used to be one. We are not scattered before. Man's soul, Adam, was whole. That wholeness is what they call holy. Holy. So when one will say, I am holy, or you come into holiness, we want to see whether your soul has been reconciled, whether you've been gathered into one. Now, if your soul is gathered into one, you will, amen, are you ready for this? What is here? So who that is gathered, that is whole, that soul will be humble.
Hey.
That soul will be meek. Pride is a country. Pastor TJ says it's a continent. It's not a country. Because a lot of people are dwelling there, and they have their president. In fact, that's the one that is overpopulated. Amen. It's a country. Now, those are the things that have scattered the soul. Now, this is what I was saying. Now, what was doing that was a law. He knows if I'm able to scatter the soul will not be together. The soul will not be firm. The soul will not have strength. Because you need to be together to have that cohesion force. Against certain vices, against certain, let's say, for instance, something like, you know, normal corruption, not corruption that is in this world, true lust. You know, I'm talking about corruption in the place of work. You need to be firm. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Can I say this to us? There were some people who didn't know God. They were not born again. They were just men. Civil servants. They are just, but they will not allow themselves to be bribed. They will not take what belongs to the government. That soul was still a little bit, it could resist. It could resist. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? They were men like that. They were not born again, but they have conscience. Their conscience, they still had conscience. So they won't take what belongs to the government. They won't take what does not belong to them. They are still together. When your conscience does not prick you in what you do, when you do something wrong, then you've been scattered long ago. So the reason is so that the soul will not have strength against the day of covenant. Because there's a place he's taking man to a place where man will ultimately make covenant with death, covenant with grave, agreement with sin. That's why he's taking man. So he took time to break down the soul, break down the strength of the soul. Not only was he doing it by temptation, he was also using everything, the system. He created a system that will further break down the soul, weaken the soul. Even souls that we are, I would say naturally or culturally, even your culture got to a point where it caved in. Because something is stronger. Something was stronger. Amen. So he kept on breaking the soul of man. And then when the soul of man was broken down, that's what you mean when we had no strength. The time when we had no strength, when we are without strength, then God sent his son. That was when the soul was broken. It wasn't just talking about the body there. But you also know that the body, there's a law that keeps the body. There's a law that keeps the body. So he also tampered with that. Amen. Hallelujah. He tampered with the laws that keeps the body. The body is supposed to be together. The body is not supposed to fall. Sir, wrinkles, we are not supposed to come out of your face. You were not meant to have gray hair. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you agree with me? Or am I saying something here? You're not meant to have gray hair. You're supposed to look young. You're supposed to use youthful. Your strength is not supposed to abate. You're not supposed to. Your eye was not supposed to be dim. Something broke it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Something broke those laws. That's the work that Satan was doing with man, busy breaking laws, because he's a transgressor. He's a law breaker. He broke his own. He finished his own. So anybody who comes near him, he will teach you. So all these years he has been Adam, he has taught Adam how to break laws and break laws and break laws and break laws. Getting to us in our generation, we are broken. That's the word, shattered. But you know the joy. Amen. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works. Because those things you're seeing are works. Sir, laws are works, rot. When a law has fully worked in the soul, it becomes a work. That work in itself is what they call law, that the person is, or life. So, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy that work, that law. Amen.
Amen.
That's the purpose. That's the victory. That's the victory we have in Christ. That's the victory that we have in Christ. That laws are being destroyed. Won't you rejoice because of it?
Hallelujah.
So I'm just trying to show you what he did, what Satan did. When we talk about him being a transgressor, or that he's sinned from the beginning. Now he could fetch some thoughts that you can't. For instance, when you say sin, how many of us know that sin is more intelligent than you? I mean, sin that is inside you, inside the man, is more intelligent than you. Can outsmart you. I read of, was it ChatGPT 4 or Crook, that, you know, this ChatGPT AI advancement, they've gotten to a point where the guy discovered something was wrong with the AI and wanted to, not correct it, wanted to shut it down. The AI blackmailed him before his August. The AI not be human being, no. The machine that somebody crafted. The person who discovered something wrong with it, that it was a little bit biased over something, saw something dangerous, they wanted to shut it down. The thing refused to shut down, blackmailed him. Isn't that sin? You don't understand what I'm saying here. When your phone, this is what I'm saying, imagine your phone blackmailing you, reporting you. Your phone all of a sudden sent message to your superior that you're supposed to be reporting to. That there's something this guy is trying to do. I don't understand what is wrong with him. The guy is tampering with some files, some sensitive files. He's not supposed to tamper with them. It's not within his job description. And what that thing was doing was to evade the guy from shutting him down. What kind of intelligence is that? When I saw it, I said, that's sin. You know sin? Sin does not want to die. It's sin that you bring to church as a configuration, as a law. You've been born again in your spirit. In your soul, the thing is still an old man there. Is the old man is very, very more intelligent than you. It will bring you, I mean, you will carry the thing. You come to church, you sit down. The preacher will be preaching. He will help you analyze some of the things he's saying. He's only saying it because he's talking about class, because he's a local, all these local preachers. You think you're the one thinking, he's sin thinking for you. What he's doing is self-preservation. That is why one of the things you must do, you must agree. I don't know. When righteousness is being presented to you, you must agree that my own stand is wrong. That is what they mean by repentance.
Oh, hallelujah.
I must agree, first of all, that where I'm standing is wrong. You didn't get that. That must be what I should all the time agree. That my own stand is your own stand. Where you're standing right now, is that the right stand? Are you standing? I know you're not where you used to be. We give praise to God, but you're not where you should be until you are found in Him, not having your own righteousness. Because there is still, in every one of us, there is still an atom of your own righteousness. You see that your own righteousness, that thing is seen intelligent to preserve itself. Sin doesn't want to go. You know, it's sin that suggested to Ananias and Sapphira, don't cooperate with sin. Don't cooperate with sin. Because you have a viral load of it to a measure, every one of us, including me that is preaching, and I have to be repenting all the time. That's the reason for repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works, they teach you in milk of the word, is to give your heart a disposition of constant repentance. That is how you move. That is how you journey. When you stop repenting, you stop journeying. No? I'm telling you the truth. Anywhere you find, because sometimes you can find yourself in a particular, you know, that sometimes you can have some little revival, you know, you feel good, maybe you know, something just happened, you know, and then you obeyed the Lord in a measure, and then the Lord commends you. Don't settle there. There's still darkness there. And can I tell you something? Sin can convert that place as a ground of righteousness for your soul to stay. Just tell yourself, I'm not yet there. What was Paul saying? I'm pressing off for the mark of the... I do not see myself to have attained. I don't see myself... If there's anybody... Paul, at the stage where he was writing a pistol with divine mind... You can't write a pistol with divine mind. He said... This is a true saying and worthy of acceptation, that Christ came to die for sinners, of which I am chief. You know, boys that preach, not word as they are teaching us right now, word, I'll call it later, that preach word will say, no, Paul was confessing. You know, I heard it from people. Say Paul was confessing negative. That was negative confession. But he said, I press on for the mark of the upward calling. He said that I may be found in him. That's one thing. I want to be found in him. I don't want anything of my own righteousness. Where I stand, where sin can still have advantage of me, because there's a place in your journey until you arrive in him, there's still a place for sin to take advantage of you. If sin can use the law of Moses to give birth to children, law of Moses? The same law of Moses gave birth to prophets. The same law of Moses gave birth to kings, righteous men. But the same law can give birth to brood of vipers. So sin can use even your spirituality, sir. Apart from Christ, Pastor Toya, if I'm wrong, you guys should correct me. Apart from the identity we have in Christ Jesus, that identity we have in Christ, apart from that, I don't think there's anybody who has gotten to the point where he will say sin cannot. Now, there's a difference between sin having dominion over you. Sin shouldn't have dominion over you, because sin is a throne. Sin is a dominion. But you've been brought, because you are in Christ, you are under grace. Sin should not have dominion over you. But this is what I'm saying. I don't think there's any of us. Now, I'm not preaching sin consciousness. I'm just showing you something. I don't think that there's any of us that have gotten to the place where you, because even your thoughts sometimes, don't you get embarrassed by some thoughts? Sometimes I get ashamed of some thoughts. I once heard a testimony of somebody that died, you know, and then when I believe it's a true life experience, because he came from somebody that could be trusted to a measure, and then call it near death experience, and then went up, and then was before the Lord, and he said the Lord strayed his thoughts, put it on the screen. And he was watching. And he said he was not the only one there. People were there. Saints were there. Well, I don't know how true that is, but I know the Lord does not expose us like that. But your thoughts, when you appear before him, there is nothing. That is why when you see him, you should bow. You say, Lord, I'm the chiefest of all sinners. Just have mercy on me. Hagin met him. He couldn't stop crying. He fell down. In fact, there is none of you. You can't. You can't see him and stand. Well, you wouldn't know when every cell in you will be vibrating, I am unworthy. I am unworthy. I am unworthy. He had to lift up Hagin and say, I have made you worthy. It's only him that can do that. He's the only one that can do that. But on you alone, leave you alone with sin, you don't stand any chance, my brother. Because that thing is high intelligence. Is intelligent of a cherubim. But I won't be doing well if I end my message there. There's something they are trying to make out of us, sir. That's why they are giving us the laws of God. The law of his life. So when you're reading John, you know all those John epistles, what he's trying to show you, I don't know how to paint it, is not just, there's a way a milkman will understand it. There's even a way a moralist will understand 1 John. Just love your brother. Do good. Don't steal from anybody. Drink your water. After finishing your tea, turn it upside down. You know, when you will appear, your conscience will appear pious. Well, you see, that guy is still a sinner. So finally, I was telling us, just the same way, listen to me, just the same way he talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all those things he mentioned there, and said you can have all of that without charity. So the charity was Christ. Because there he also talked about charitable works. I give my body to be burnt, means I'm an activist, I'm protecting the poor, I'm doing all of that. And I gave all my goods. I gave all my goods. I gave all my goods to feed the poor. And without the law, that constitution of a person called Christ, I'm nothing. You don't get that. Without that constitution, if I don't have Christ, if I don't have Christ, if it is not a nature, because man can do that for many reasons. Yes. Man can do that for many reasons. I remember one of my pastors then, precisely Reverend Oko, then he's a very, very intelligent man. He read up to doctorate degree, petrochemical, engineer. So he had met some bad, not in Nigeria, outside, some bad professors. Those professors they are not here. Those guys have dined with some thoughts. And he tried to preach Christ to them. And they'll just look at him. I say, one of them told him, he said, do you know of the ulamas? Ulama. That's the wise men on the Himalayas. You know, they have names. You know that name, ulama? That name is not... It's not an English name. It's like saying Melchizedek. Those guys, they don't dwell where men dwell. They are on the Himalayas. Himalayas is one of the, high mountains. And they meditate. They don't live life the way you live life. They live a life that, it was the professor that was telling me, he said, those guys, are you saying your righteousness is more than those guys? You know, because that kind of life of the ulamas on the Himalayas is a lie, is Satan. Satan knew of Zion. So he created his own and created dwellers there. It is to divert your attention so that, man, when you look at those men, when I'm preaching to you about righteousness which is in Christ Jesus, and you know of such other, you will think these guys are just fooling themselves. Who has told you lies? Do you know about the ulamas that dwell on the heights of the Himalayas? Is layers, so. They live a life of meditation. They don't think evil. Sin is still there. See, it's even sin that crafted that thing. The ulama, with all those things he's doing, sin, in fact, that is even the best situation for sin to work. Yes. Because they are selfless. They don't own anything. They don't own a house. They dwell in a company, in a congregation. What you are given is what you eat. You only wear one kind of garment, which you wrap on yourself. No jeans. No damask. No sneakers. They walk barefooted. And at most with sandals. And then they scrape their hair. So when you see them, very gentle, they don't shout. They look peaceful. What they are trying to do is to divert men's attention from the life that is in God. You can do all of that if you don't have the law of God inside of you. You are nothing. You are nothing. In fact, the law of God wants to be where men are. I'm talking about that person of God. No, he doesn't hide in Himalayas. He wants to be where men are.
Yes, sir.
In fact, he wants to do it. The test of it is that they will put it inside a man. Amen. They will put it inside a man. They will put that law inside a man and let it be the operating principle of the man. And you're seeing God man. You're seeing divine man. You're seeing a man. A man, he will eat with you. You know how Jesus was? He will eat bread with them. He will visit the tax collectors. He will visit the publicans. And then they will eat. And then he will laugh. And some people were looking at him and said, Kai, this is not a prophet. This guy is not a pastor. If he is a man of God, he should know that this guy is a sinner. You should not associate yourself with sinners. That's not God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life. So to lay down his life is to come down to man. He came down to where man is. He came down to where man is to take all of man. Oh. He won't leave any part of you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Your spirit, soul, and body. No matter how far sin has gone inside a man, he is here to raise that man. You know, the victory is that the man who has been beaten down into dust, that man will be gathered again, made whole, gathered together and taken up, made higher. Made higher than sin, made higher than death. Will be taken to a place where sin will no longer have dominion.
Amen.
Indeed.
Amen.
Not just positionally, but dispositionally.
Amen.
Where sin will no longer have, sin as a throne will no longer have authority over such a man. So, this is the message that we have heard of him. It is of him. And what is the message? God is light. God is light. So if God is light, then he said, this is the message we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. He said, brethren, let us love one another, for love is of God. So when you're saying God is light, you're also saying God is love. That's the message. That's the message. That's the message they want man to understand, that life actually is love. And love is a person. And love is God. So if we now can see 1 Corinthians chapter 13, how 1 Corinthians chapter 13 now began to give us, after he mentioned all of that, now began to give us the characteristics of Christ, or the characteristics of charity. Charity is kind, charity is patient, charity suffered long, charity, you know, was talking all of that and said all the things are charity. Charity faileth not. If charity faileth not, then what will divine love do? Because it has its own characteristics also. It has its own, you know, how you can know love. How you can know love. How will you know Christ? You can know him when you see those, attitudes, when you see those characters. You can also know God. You can also know God. God can be seen. God can be perceived. Hereby perceive we the love of God. God can be perceived. Meaning God can be understood. God can be seen. Now, finally, I'll end up with this. You see, men like John, they saw God. Do you believe what I just said now? They saw God. Men like John, they saw God. Not vision. Leave the book of Revelation. They saw God. What I mean is that they had understanding of the most holy. Not just understanding of the holy, the understanding of the most holy. That is what it means to see God, to comprehend him. They were able to comprehend. Now, this comprehending is not the way you're sitting down and you're understanding and you're writing. You know, you can sit down, you understand my preaching, right? And you're writing them down and you're making mental notes of it. To comprehend is to apprehend. Meaning in your understanding, because that is what they want to do to us. In your understanding, can you capture God? You know, there's a way you understand life. There's a way you understand this life. I mean, this present life, you know what to do. You can find your way around. There's a way you understand this life. You know, at some point you need to marry. You say, but I'm understanding of this. When I'm saying this life, I'm not talking about the life of Christ. Neither am I talking about the life of God. I'm talking about this present, this arrangement. There's a way you understand it. You understand that at some point you need to get married. And that is why when you don't get married at that point, you become troubled. It's because of an understanding you have. You understand at some point when you're married, you should have children. And that's why when you don't have children, you begin to get worried. The problem is understanding. Wow. Not the one you wrote in paper. Yeah. Not understanding you wrote in paper. Is what you has grasped as life. Your soul is holding it as life. That is what we mean by understanding, comprehension. Because with comprehension, you apprehend. What did you apprehend? Life. So what you're seeing as life is actually your understanding. What your soul has understood is what you're seeing as life. But imagine a man who has a totally different understanding. He doesn't see as you see. Imagine that Melchizedek man. That divine man. He doesn't see as you see. You're seeing at this stage I should marry. Melchizedek is not seeing that. I hope you will not be angry with me. Because I know it's not everybody that will take teachings like this. But if you're here, you should be able to take it. Can you say amen? It's your understanding. So when we say understanding of the most holy, what you're actually talking about, sir, is understanding of the life that is in the most holy, that has been apprehended as a life of a man. When you are in that most holy, there are things that should not bother you. Now, somebody say, okay, so when you're in the most holy, you should not marry again. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Somebody who is in the most holy, like the high priest, for instance, the high priest is not a celibate. Is it celibacy? The high priest, he gets married. But there is a law that the high priest keeps that the rest of Israel cannot keep. You see, that law is what guides that life. So he can practice, he's a practitioner, he's a professional. He can practice that life in marriage. So he won't use, because marriage is given to man, he won't use that marriage the way somebody outside will use it. He has a different understanding. He will redeem it. Am I saying when you have understanding of the Most Holy, you should not have a child? But I say, okay, right now we are not having children yet because we understand that there's sin in us. Until we are cleansed, then we can have children. You're wasting your time. Amen. No matter how cleansed you are, if you give birth, the person will say, I have to pass through all the process. No, but as a parent that have understanding of the Most Holy, when you're raising children, you raise them with the eyes of the Most Holy. Meaning they will understand God better looking at you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, meaning you use every privilege that God has given to us here in a different way, with a different light. Let me just draw the conclusion here. Such that even if you are not given privilege of having such an arrangement, it does not remove anything from you. You dwell in the heights. You have an understanding of life that is beyond the present. So if they give you the present, you use it well. You raise it. If they don't give it to you, you are not perturbed about it. You still move on because there are still avenues to express that life. Whether you marry, you don't marry. Whether you have children, you don't have children. You will always have brethren. Am I saying something here? You will always do what? You will always have brethren. So amidst the brethren, you still practice. You practice it amidst brethren. That's why they say, it's brethren. They said, you know, that you love one another.
Yes, sir.
There, do you notice that? Amen. Are you ready for this? I'm dropping it here. In Christ's light, sir, it was in Christ's light that Paul had, that you heard so much of the conversation of husband and wife. Husband and wife. Parents, children, master, and all of that. In God is light. The light that John was using is just brethren. Yes, you don't see wife. You don't see children. Check it. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. It's brethren. It's brethren. You love the brethren. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So, in that light, everybody is brethren. Wife is brethren. Children is brethren. Now, don't make mistake. It's not brethren as you see brethren. You need to have discernment of brethren. You need to come into higher understanding of who brethren is. You don't know the relationship between brethren is higher. Brethren, the prophet. That's what we are seeing in the book of... Did you see husband and wife in the book of Revelation? Did you see husband and wife? This thing I have against you, the church in Smyrna. There are some of you who are not loving your wives. Some of you men are not loving... They've passed it. They should not be counting that here. In the knowledge of the Most Holy. That's what I'm saying. When you come to God, God, His own nature is is separated. In Christ, we can accommodate all those other. Now, I'm not saying by the time you get there, you disengage with those other conversations. No, they are there. But you use it even more excellently. You use it more excellently. So God's love. Can you say God's love? It's God's law. That's God's law. That's God. That's what he calls his life. That's his spirit. His spirit. He doesn't do anything outside it. Love that God is will give what is dearest to him. His only begotten son. That's the only thing he has. He will give him. He's high. He's high. Is a law, is a life. He's higher than charity, sir. He will take what is dearest to him and then give it. Can you give me this 1 John chapter 3. Let me look for it. Amen. I didn't want to preach this long. He said, for this is the message that we have heard of him. We have heard from the beginning, that we should do what? That we should do what? That we should do what? And he gave us commandment that he that loveth his brother should also, who that loveth God should also love his brother. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. 1 John 4:11, quickly. Beloved, if God so love us, we ought also to love one another. I'm looking for a place where he said, anyone that loves God should also, that's a commandment he gave to us, that he that loveth God should also love his brother. Find a place for me quickly. Is in that 1 John, I think 3 or 4. 4:20. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Then 21. Amen. Can we read it together? One to go. Can we read it again? So he who loves God loves his brother also. Look at it. It's a commandment that he who loves God love his brother also. I looked at it and I said, it means that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they are brethren. That is why they exalt the life of brethren. They are brethren. Inseparable brethren. Some theologians might not agree with me on this, but understand what I'm talking about. What we are discussing is something beyond just your own theory, your own theology. Because three of them are distinct personalities. Distinct personalities. But they are one. How they are one My coconut cannot understand it. It does not hold the water that can comprehend it. I can only comprehend to the measure that they unveil to me. Well, I know they are brethren. They so love one another. That the Son was willing to do what the Father wanted. And the Father wanted that everybody here should be saved. Men should be saved. And then he was willing to go do that. And then while he was doing that, the Holy Ghost decided that after you're true, your labor will not be in vain. The seed you've sown, I'm going to go back and make sure that it's raised.
Wow.
So that you will receive a harvest for the seed which you have sown, which is your life.
Wow.
To show you how distinct they are, when the Son all authority must have been placed under him, that he himself will be subject to the Father, so that the Father will be all in all. To also show you how distinct they are, when you read Ephesians chapter 4, the last four verses, let me end with that. Praise God. Can you say brethren? That's what we began to see in the epistles of John, loving your brethren. May God give us an understanding of brethren's love. Can you love your brethren to the point you lay down your life for your brethren? Can you? This is Ephesians chapter 4 where it said there's one God. Start from verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. From verse 1. Let's start from verse 1 so that we can get the flow. Amen. I just want to show you something about them. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation, wherewith you are called. So it's a vocation that we have been called. We've been called to come and walk in a vocation. He called it our calling. With all lowliness. See, those are things that will, you begin to learn. Because when you get to God, lowliness is even deeper. That's when you get to the economy of the Father. Lowliness is deeper than what it is in Christ. With all lowliness and meekness, with all long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Where? I'm not hearing you. Forbearing?
No.
Now, please, I want you to hear this. There is no commandment that they will give to you that they don't keep. God is not a tax master. It's not like your boss in the office. What he gives to you is his commandment. That's why Jesus understood it and said, I know that his commandments are life everlasting. So when he said, with all lowliness, meekness, with all long-suffering, forbearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Those are commandments they keep. Those are God commandments. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So you see the reason for covenant of peace. You must have peace. If you don't have peace, you can't keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Forget it. You will fight. When you're disrespected, you will show yourself. But when you are in peace, your heart is at rest. Then go further quickly. For there is one body. It started with one body because the Spirit is the one who is at work in the body right now. One Spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, then second, one Lord, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, and one faith is to him. One baptism. Are you seeing it? One faith, one baptism And then what again? One God and Father of all, who is and that's where he wants to enter. He wants to be your life. The Father wants to be your life. He wants to give you his life. How many of us know that we will get there? In the days of our flesh, we'll get there. Now, begin to tell yourself that. I tell myself that all the time. I will leave this earth until I lay hold. I tell myself that all the time. I will leave this earth until I lay hold on eternal life. The reason for long life is not so that I will just see my children's children. The reason for long life is not so that they will say, okay, he lived very long life. In their family, they don't die early. The reason for long life is not so that I will eat the fruit of my labor. What's my labor? What is your labor? Your children. Or maybe the wealth you've gathered. That's not the reason for long life. The reason for long life is for salvation. And I'm saying he will keep you long. All I'm saying is that in your time of sojourning here on earth, use it to get God. Use it to get God. That's the only thing that will profit. Use it to get God. Acquire God. Get God. You can get God. A man can get God. You see, I'm telling you the truth. A man can get God. I will get God before I leave here.
Amen.
I'll get God. I'm deliberate about it. I don't know about you, but I'm deliberate about it. I am deliberate about it. And they are teaching me to be deliberate more about it. I want to get God. So when you don't see me behave the way you expect me to behave, it's because I want to get God. When you don't see me respond to things the way you would have expected that a pastor should respond to this kind of thing, it's because I want to get God. Because I know it is not about the arrangement externally, it's about the law that I keep internally. So if I'm able to, if they show me the law, they're expecting me to do it, and the external arrangement might be calling for something else as a response from me, but I should shun away from that response that the external is calling. I should obey what they are showing to me. And if I obey it, it might look like, okay, things are not the way it should be. But somebody is busy doing some things. You know, I used to wonder, sir, our Lord Jesus, when he was here, he didn't build any house. But he was doing something in the spirit. He didn't look for horse to ride on. There are things, he didn't bother himself with so many things. But he was strictly doing something in the spirit. And it was necessary for him to finish it. May God show you what to do. Because every day there is that which you ought to do. May God show you. May God keep us from chasing shadow. I think that's what I understand by leading not into temptation. Keep me from chasing shadow. Keep me from presumptuous sin. Keep me from chasing shadow. Help me to number my days so that I can apply my heart unto wisdom. Show me what I must do. What is the most important thing right now at this stage of my life? What is the most important thing? What should I be doing? There is something I should be doing. It's not external. Things might happen externally, but the major thing, work should be inside. I should be changing because it will show me. That will show me the path of life. You will show me the path of life. For in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Are you blessed today? Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say the Spirit of the Lord, for I'm bringing life to you. Yeah, I'm bringing life to you. Yeah, I'm showing you life. Yeah, I'm showing you purpose. Yeah, I'm bringing you into destiny. Yeah, I'm bringing you into grace. For what's been said to you this morning is a measure of my mercy. Yeah, it's a measure of my mercy. Yeah, that man will no longer chase shadows. Yeah, that man will no longer go after that which is vain. Yeah, that man will resume that which is my intention even from the foundation of the world. Yeah, for you see, this teaching is a teaching of freedom. Yeah, that sin will no longer have dominion over you. Yeah, that sin will no longer have dominion over you. Yeah, that you may be free from the wisdom of the adversary. Yeah, that you may be free from his trap. Yeah, that you may be free from his web. Yeah, I've sent mercy your way. Even great mercy. Yeah, even great mercy. Even mercy from my throne through the mouth of my servant. Yeah, for it is a distribution of liberty in your midst. Yeah, it's a distribution of liberty in your midst. Yeah, liberty to seek God. Yeah, liberty to seek salvation. Yeah, for it's out of the same passion that I've poured into the heart of my servant for my sins. Yeah, he has given to you. Yeah, he has given to you. Yeah, he has given to you a heart, even that Davidic heart. Yeah, even that Davidic spirit that is not satisfied until it awakes in likeness. Yeah, until it awakes in my glory. Yeah, even such spirit has been poured upon you. Yeah, it has been poured upon you. Yeah, it has been poured upon you. For you see, this is the spirit of this house. Yeah, this is the spirit of this house. Even that spirit that ought to pierce into the most holy. Yeah, not just pierce into the most holy, but to obtain that which is behind the veil. For you ought to pierce into the most holy, and you ought to obtain that which is behind the veil. Even such spirit, even such grace has been distributed upon you, saith the Lord.
Hands and just thank him. Just thank him today. There's a whole lot to say. There's still more. Amen. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. You know, it's in that first John he began to, some of the things he began to say, I'm just, you know, remembering it. He said, if anyone has these worldly goods, and you see your brother in need, and you shut your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Then Paul said, those who are using the word as not. Now, one of the things I'm seeing here, sir, this is an instruction of father to fathers. This is an instruction of fathers who are a father, John 2, those who are in the order of everlasting life. He said, give me back that place in 1 John. I'm already true. He said, but whoso had this world's goods. So there are some people then who had not these world goods. Their heights in everlasting life. This is what I'm saying. Somebody will say, are you saying you will not have anything? You can have something, you're not having it. You can have something, but you're not having it. Is already given. You can have something and you're not having it. And one of the reasons for the commandments to give is so that you can come into that state where you don't have it. Your heart has to be like that. Giving once will not bring your heart there. You have to give over and over and over and over and over again. So your heart comes into that place where your heart not. You didn't get my... I'll say it again. If any heart this world's goods, this apostle got to the point where he doesn't have it. Was he poor? No. Was he an olama? No. but he doesn't have it. Sir, it's a state in your soul. That is what this, you know, Satan knows these things. He knows that these are the places where they find men. And he's also bringing his own story along that line. If you read about the Davos, their theory that they are bringing about the new world, you will have nothing and be happy. How many of us have heard that cliche? You will have nothing and be happy. Is the wicked men of this world coming up with a theory and not that system of civilization, another system of government or economy where you will own nothing and be happy? Where did they see that from? Somebody told them that lie. That thing originally is a state in God. Paul said, as having nothing, but you possess all things. Is a state. Is a state. These things are real. A soul should get to where he's free from things. Right now, you're not free from things, so you might be free from one thing, you might still be attached to something else. That thing, if they search your soul very well, they will find the picture of it. It can be a car. It can be your savings. It can be your dress. It can be something. If they search your soul very well, they'll find it. But they want to get you to the point where you had not this world. So the reason for the commandment of loving one another, how you obey it, if anyone had this world goods, you're in a state. They want to take you to a place where you had not. So they'll command you to give it. Somebody who had not, just, they don't need to command him, he just gives it because it's a law in him. Now, I was using the one of Paul to collaborate it. He said, as using the word, I'm not abusing it. Was he using the word? Even though he was instructing people, who could still be using the word? Thank you, sir. In Timothy, he was saying to 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, charge them that are rich in this world. He didn't put himself there. Charge them. In fact, he was instructing Timothy, but he was expecting Timothy at this state. See, Timothy, you shouldn't be like them. Because so he said, don't pursue this thing. Don't follow these things. Follow after righteousness, faith, godliness. These are the things you should have. But if any man has these worldly goods, or teach them that are rich in this world, them. It's them. So their height in God, man, is them. These men, this is what I'm saying, sir. They were so rich in God that they lost sight of what men might count as what they have. Don't misunderstand me, they were not poor. But they don't even know, they don't see it. They don't have eyes for it. You see, have eyes for things. You know what you can use. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. You know what you can use what is in your account to do. You have wisdom on what to do with it. That is why when they say give it for convention, I'm talking to somebody. You negotiate it. But this man, they were not seeing it. So I want to get to the place. I've been begging God, bring me to that place of Omega. Bring me to that place of immortality. I was telling you, bring me to that place where I will not die. These things will not attach itself to me. Where I will not see it as anything that I have. I can't claim, it's not confession. It's not something I can claim. It's something they have to command me to. So they will command you, give you commandment and give you commandment and give you commandment until you have not. And the commandment they will be giving you has always will always have to be love one another. Love your brother. If you have these worldly goods and your brother is in need, they will make your brother have a need. They'll make your brother have a need. They make your brother pray. In fact, I love that place. He said, if any one of you have these worldly goods and see it, so you see. Don't see and close your eyes. Don't pretend as if you didn't see it. One thing I've been training myself right now is to be looking at everybody very well. See opportunity to minister to you. I want to do that. I'll look for opportunity to minister to you. Not just preach to you. Minister to you. Because if I see that, I should respond to it. There's something he's doing to my soul. There's something he's doing to my soul. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. I want to get to that place where he said, this is the love of God. This is the love of God. You don't understand me? When they look at Tyron, they say, this is the love of God. They look at Pastor Ken, they say, this is the love of God. They look at Pastor Jesus, they say, this is the love of God. You know, the way they look at Jesus, they say, this is the love of God. Hereby perceive with the love of God. Are we blessed today? Let's give God thanks. Amen. Just give him thanks.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call +234 816 236 6700. You can also contact us through WhatsApp on +234 803 688 4759. God bless you.